Live across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment, presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, are you sitting on 50 grand's worth of shares you've just forgotten about? If so, we'll get it out of you on an exclusive Radio Gladiators investigation. Also today, John Major, the new king of comedy, a new breakthrough for people who don't have time to sit through an entire movie, plus the world's longest moustache. That's right, it's another slow news day. As always, we'll wind up the week with our Fumio presentation. We'll go for a dip in that big pot of shite. And dropping by to keep us company today, it's book writing authoress Kathy Lett. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that has Christopher Skase reaching for the phony oxygen, Martin Malloy. That's George Michael with Fast Love. Good afternoon, Australia. This is Martin Malloy, the last one for the week with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here. He's embarrassed and he's apologised to fans who feel let down after he was pulled over by police and found to be driving while under the influence of Supertramp's The Logical Song, Mick Malloy.
It's my third offence.
I told you to get rid of that tape years ago. What were you thinking?
I don't know.
You think you can get away with it? Yeah. I'm thinking, well, it's just one song.
Okay. Right on.
But listen, here's some good news. It's almost the end of the week.
Chihuahua! Chihuahua! Chihuahua!
Yes, and like Christopher Skase, we're celebrating, but it's also time for us here at Martin Malloy to present this week's Fumio to whoever or whatever it was that had us running off at the cake holes the most over the last week. The Fumios, this week brought to you by new Gym Short Shorts. They're great. Every time you put them on, you discover 50 grand's worth of shares in the back pocket you simply forgot you had. Who wears short shorts? Gym wears short shorts. Mick, the nominees are... The Spy Granny. Yes, Sydney's 72-year-old granny who is believed to have passed on sensitive information to the Soviet Union. And anyone who's seen the Spy Granny driving to bowls on a Saturday will tell you she's obviously licensed to kill. The Calcivirus 16. The 16 kamikaze bunnies released into the wild this week to hopefully decimate Australia's out-of-control rabbit population. Said a CSIRO spokesman, the rabbits have got to be stopped. They're breeding like daddos. The Hume Dam, which moved 5 millimetres in a single day, more than it's supposed to move in an entire year. We're not exactly sure how the movement was detected, although some locals claim they did see a couple of cops hiding in the bushes with a radar gun. Go on without me, Tone. Save yourself. The New South Wales town of Wagga Wagga, whose sister city, Leavenworth, Kansas, in the US, refused to name a street Wagga Wagga Drive because the locals thought, quote, it sounded funny. Really? Let's give it a try, shall we? Wagga Wagga. Gee, it really works. Wagga Wagga. That's what we'll be doing today for Jack Doesn't Go How It's Supposed to, Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
Wagga Wagga. Just keep it standing by, Gracie. But no, the Fumio goes to...
The makers of the Princess Di bra and panties hoax video.
Yes, the big story of the week. And, Mick, have you noticed how no one's really too worked up about this fake video? Because even though it's not real, you kind of know it's probably pretty much on the money. Everyone's just going, yeah, that's probably what a night round at Die and the Super Cads would have been like. Cushions, tracksuits, equestrian activity.
It's a documentary. And, good news, just a hand has just come in. I understand that piece of video has been nominated for 6 AFIs.
Has it
really?
Yes.
Just sweep the pool.
Okay, well, you know, we've been talking about it all week, and we tried ourselves to pull a scam like this, didn't we? Remember that?
I remember it.
We sent in a kind of a hoax video, much like the Die video, into one of the papers, and I think we were getting away with it, but we stuck that totally unbelievable bit on the end. Let's play the tape now, shall we? Here we go. Put that in.
What's this bit, Tone?
This is you doing the seductive dance of the 7 pairs of trachydacts.
Oh, here comes pair number 5. Crotchless. I call them the crowd pleasers.
Oh, look, Mick, it's us having our playful cushion fight.
It's always much more fun when you put an old steam iron in your cushion.
Here's the big one, Mick. You riding me round the room like a horse.
Come on, Martin. I've got 10 bucks on this race. Faster or it's straight to the neckery.
Here's the bit where I broke my leg when you tried to jump me over the couch.
And here come the screams.
And Mick, here's the bit where we went too far. No one believed this. It's us enjoying a Pride and Prejudice marathon. Mr. Darcy, he's married the wrong woman.
No one understands him.
Mick?
Yeah?
Can you get off my back now?
Okay.
Something got me started. Maybe it was our playful pillow fight.
What was going on there?
I have no idea.
It's getting late in the week.
It is. We've got a couple of tired and emotional bunnies in the studio today, people.
Yes, we're chockers with the calcivirus. Swagga wagga!
There we go, we're back on track.
Just testing Gracie. One faggy. Ah, yes, that doesn't work on one thing. Wagga wagga.
See?
It's uncanny.
You see, it's amazing. The people up in Wagga Wagga must just laugh all day. They obviously get up in the morning and are just on the cack.
In case you're just joining us, we're putting this theory to the test. Americans didn't want a street called Wagga Wagga Drive in Leavenworth because they thought that Wagga Wagga sounded funny. And we'll be using the word Wagga Wagga as much as we can on today's program. Wagga Wagga!
You got him a beauty.
Okay, but enough of that theorising, because it's time to ask the question.
What's all that about?
Okay, what do you got, Mickey?
Wagga Wagga! There you go, just testing. Tone, there are elections going on all around the world at the moment. New Zealand, US, UK, and as always, politicians, when it comes to elections, often find themselves behaving in a fairly bizarre manner.
Yes.
Usually because someone's told them it could garner them a few votes. And no one's jumped into the fray with more gusto than British Prime Minister John Major, who's earning himself quite a reputation as the stand-up comic. Have you heard about this? Well, it appears most voters see him as a bit of a wowser, a drab character with the charisma level of a Stuart Surridge cricket bat.
Really?
And to counter this, he's taken to peppering his speeches with a few ribald anecdotes and bawdy one-liners. At a speech earlier in the week, he was telling drinking stories about himself and Boris Yeltsin, how he took Boris to a pub that was shut and Boris stood there thumping on the door going, "Open up, it's the President of Russia." And now the voice on the other side said, "Yes, and I'm the Kaiser." Wow, brought the house down. He could have said Wagga Wagga. It got such a rousing response.
I must say, the story does ring true, though.
Oh, yes.
It's not like he's had to stretch the truth.
If you ever heard that, if a publican ever heard that, the other side of the door would be, "Not you again, exactly. You're barred." So anyway, he's taken the ball and run with it, obviously thinking, well, if I don't get re-elected, I could be a shot for the Perrier Award at next year's Edinburgh Festival. So with that in mind, Tone, I'm looking forward to his first televised debate with Labor leader Tony Blair.
Yes.
Who knows what he's got in store?
Oh, yes.
Someone saw him at home last night rehearsing in front of the mirror, wearing a goatee, glasses and zinc on the nose. Wagga wagga! I'm sure he'll have a couple of lines prepared for latecomers, you know. You knit that yourself, did you? Is that your body or your head blowing a bubble? I don't know. You know what his opening line to Tony Blair is going to be on the crucial debate?
What's that?
365 million sperm and you had to be the one to get through. It's an oldie but a goodie.
Never fails.
He's going to have a guitar. Says he's going to do a couple of Kevin Bloody Wilson numbers, rooting in the back of the ute, born-again piss tank, and to close. The rumour is he's going to drop the pants, whop a firecracker up the back passage, and let it rip to the tune of "There's No Business Like Show Business." He's a card, this bloke. And if that doesn't get the worm moving in the right direction, he's going to whip the hanky out of his top pocket, tie it on his head, and stand there doing the Fred Scuttle salute. Oh, and they're still arguing over who should chair the debate. Blair wants a respected journalist, but Major says all he wants to see on stage is Red Simons and a gong.
Okay, and here's another unanswered question.
What?
Has he got a moustache?
Has he got a moustache?
Has John Major... We've been
a
talking
comedy
about,
moustache?
I've been talking about this for 5 years now. Has John Major got a moustache?
Mm. Depends on where you're standing in the light.
From certain angles, looks like he might do. Mm. I've just, as always, I'd like to just come in the end of your segment with a quick what's all that about. Is that all right?
Ah, please go.
I don't want to bend the protocol, but listen to this. New York police are investigating a suspected murder by a snake. The victim, Grant Williams, 19, was found lying face down in the doorway of his Bronx apartment. He'd been choked to death, and lying across his body was a giant Burmese python. The investigation is continuing. Well, you never know. He could have been framed by another snake. They'll have to have a lineup in a really long corridor. Is this the snake you saw, madam?
Oh, I can't be sure. He was wearing a stocking.
Radio Rembrandts, I'll be there for you at Martin Malloy.
Hey, Tone, why the overacting?
Well, Mick, I've got two great movies on video. Look, The Magnificent Seven and The Mambo Kings.
You're right, they are great movies.
But I've only got time to watch one of them. The question is, which one?
Tone. The answer's as simple as falling off a log.
I've tried that, Mick, but as you can see, these two classics remain unviewed.
Tone, listen to me. You need new Martin Malloy combined movies.
Martin Malloy combined movies? What are you talking about?
The geniuses at Martin Malloy have taken dozens of classic movies and combined them, so now you can enjoy two or more of your cinematic favourites in the one convenient sitting.
Bloody hell!
For example, why waste time sitting through both The Magnificent Seven and The Mambo Kings when now you can watch The Magnificent Seven Mambo Kings?
Quick, whack it on!
Guido, a village is done for. We cannot withstand one more attack from Carlos and his banditos. But wait, look, riding out of the sunset, it's those seven ruthless vigilantes we've heard so much about. What has happened here? Carlos and his men, they have looted our village.
Men, I think we should pay this Carlos a visit. Form a conga line. Let's go! Carlos, open this door immediately.
Who is it?
It's us, the Mambo Kings.
Okay, come in.
Do you surrender?
Ha! You walk straight into my trap! Banditos!
Quick, men! Let's mambo!
You win, Mambo Kings!
Okay, now let's return to the village and receive our hero's welcome!
Form the line!
Listening to Martin Malloy for more combined movies.
Hello, fun. Race. Those were the days, weren't it?
Do you think our music director Dan's going a bit bonkers?
No, we're going to have to get Dan in here for a bit of a grilling.
He'll be found carrying a wood pole, cutting his own hair with a rock any day now, I'm guessing. Anyway, what's going on? It's Martin Malloy, that's right. And in the next hour, Kathy Lett is going to be here. Kathy Lett, beloved Australian authoress. Yep. She lives in London
these
days.
She's an expat.
That's right. And she's back in the country to talk about her new book, Mad Cows. We'll be talking about that. In the next hour, also Pot of Shite. That's continuing. I think it's the final round of the first heat of the second one or whatever it is. I can't keep up with Pot of Shite.
Oh, you don't have to.
It's just that complex. What did we have yesterday? Woman calls us up and goes, quick, turn on your telly. I'm on Wheel of Fortune.
Now, we believed her.
Yeah, and we turned in just in time to see her being presented with the board game.
And at that stage, we knew it could have been anyone on the line apart from baby John Burgess.
Yeah, yeah. or is it Tony Barber? It was one recorded ages ago. I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was...
because he wouldn't be on it.
No. The Wheel.
See, he could... Oh, I get you.
See, Wheel of Fortune, that's right. He's doing a secret pilot for something new. Any ideas?
Who is?
Try baby John Burgess. Channel 9 have roped him in.
Mm.
They're grooming him for something special. That's what I heard.
Yeah, what he'll be hosting a pile of old clips. That's what he'll be doing. I'll be giving the marching orders. I'll send him down the archives. And don't come up to you got a television program.
Find yourself a special in that lot. They should just have a show called Pile of Old Clips.
Tonight on 9, Pile of Old Clips. The best of Pile of Old Clips. The worst of the world's worst, best and oldest pile of old clips. You're spilling the beans on their programming formula, Tone.
Radio Gladiators, that's coming up. And also, I understand you've been out and about, Mickey. What have you been doing?
Oh, well, look, I was taken by this story here, and a lot of people would have heard about this all around the country. It's emanating from Sydney. Are you up to speed with this, Tone? This woman, Camelina Caterino.
Yeah.
She, 2 days ago, she couldn't bag a date.
Yep.
Right? And now she's got them lined up for the next 2 years. And here's what she did. She launched her search by sitting in the window of a city bridal store wearing a wedding dress and inviting calls from potential husbands.
Right.
And she's been inundated. Took 400 calls yesterday, another 100 today. There's been over 500. People have been turning up. I went down. I was in front. I stood in front of the window on bended knee.
Did you?
I wasn't proposing. I was just trying to look up her dress.
Oh.
But, you know, you got to take advantage of these situations. And I got thinking. I thought, well, where's the answer to all my problems?
Shop window.
I don't want to get married. I'm just interested in a one-night stand. But what I'm thinking of doing is getting a good shop window, and I'm going to be standing in it, pissed-ass starkers, with, you know, some bourbon-stained underpants,
right,
holding a souvlaki in one hand, just banging on the window going, you know you want it.
You'd have to find a one-night stand wear shop. That's what you'd need. Because they've got bridal wear. Is there a one-night stand wear shop?
I haven't even put my mind to that. There you go. There's an opening for someone who wants to get a new chain of stores going.
Yeah.
The one-night stand-orama.
Come on down. Have you seen this paper in today's... this photo in today's paper, Mickey? It's the man with the longest moustache in India.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a slow news day, people. 195 centimetres on each side. This bloke can skip rope with his own mo. 195 centimetres. I reckon Bernie could go longer than that. You give him the weekend, he'll top that. He could grow a longer mo than that on the flight to London, I reckon. 195 centimetres. It's dragging on the ground. You'd have to be careful with that. You know, getting to the top of the escalator.
Oh, Jesus!
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
This is Martin Malloy, the proud home of this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
How about this bloke, Jim Short, Mickey?
Shorty.
Have you been following Shorty's work this week?
Get Shorty.
It's Get Shorty time. He forgot that he had 50 grand's worth of shares.
Yeah, well.
And he's the assistant treasurer, so there could be a sort of conflict of interest there. I'll tell you what he's on about.
What's he on about?
He's the assistant treasurer.
All right.
He's not going to become treasurer unless he can do as the treasurer does,
exactly.
i.e. bring embarrassment upon the government.
Hey, he's putting forward his credentials.
He's just following in the footsteps of his boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd remember if I had 50 grand's worth of shares.
You would, wouldn't you? If you'd left them in your other pair of pants or whatever, you'd know where you'd left them.
You know, it's not the kind of thing you just let go through the wash.
Oh, no! 50 grand's worth of shares, what are they doing in there?
Dang. Okay, but, you know, so let me just get this right. What is it if you're a government minister, you can't have any kind of investments which conflict with your particular portfolio. Right, so that's why Alexander Downer had to sell all those shares in Silver's Grand Magic Circus. Is that why?
Yep.
Right, so. Had to take all the clown shoes down the dump. Okay, well, he's fessed up, though. Shorty has come out and said, all right, sprung bad, got me a beauty, I've confessed.
Mm.
And I think in the spirit of this, let's get some true confessions going. Remember we did true confessions
yes, I did.
A few months back? Let's turn on a true confessions today. here at Radio Gladiators. And the way we do this is we wheel out the Martin Malloy confession booth. And then you just step inside. Oh, it's a top booth, isn't it?
Mm. I love the confession booth there.
Has it got its roadworthy?
It does. Yeah.
And then we just open the slidey door. And I'd like to confess to something, Mickey.
Please, fire away.
Often when I'm feeling a bit lonely and a bit sad and a bit, what I do is I go out to the airport. And you know those people who are standing there with signs?
Mm.
Mr. Jenkins?
Yes.
Senator Colston?
Yeah.
Mr. Costello?
Yeah.
You know, people standing there with little signs? Yeah. I'll join them just with a little cardboard sign that simply reads, "Just seeking attention." That's what I do. There's a confession.
Wow, it's a biggie.
Hang on a second. That's not for real. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for real confession. We want people to come out with true stuff that they've done. Mm. It can be real small. We don't want anything that's going to result in criminal proceedings.
No.
But here's something. I'll just open it again, Gracie. Here's something true.
Mm.
About a year ago, bought an exercise bike. Don't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Are you done?
Well, that would be enough normally. I think since we've had it in the house, I've used it twice, I reckon.
Twice. There you go. That is a true confession.
Yeah.
Girlfriend's up on it all day. She's got a banana seat fitted. She's got ape hangers. She's got the real long
forks. She's got a basket on the front.
She's doing wheelies on the exercise bike. But that's a true confession. That's what we're looking for. You just got to fess up and get something that's been plaguing you. Plaguing your mind. Get it out of your system and confess it to the public. Do you want to step in?
Yeah,
you
got it.
Let's open the door. Got something to confess to, Mickey?
Yeah, a while ago, Tone, and I'm going back a few years, but I still feel I need to purge myself of this experience.
Right.
I went out on a date with a girl.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going too well.
Really?
It was a lull in conversation. Mm-hmm. She hadn't touched a tub of potato and gravy.
Oh, really?
So I thought, well, this is going nowhere. And she felt the same, so I said, well, look, you know, I'll drive you home. Where do you live? And this turned out to be like about 30 k's.
Oh, 30
k's out of town. So I'm going, yeah, right. This is my night of nights, isn't it? So we get in the car and we're driving home and I'm thinking, it's such a long way. I've gone, well, we're going to have to get some petrol. So we stop at the petrol station and I fill the tank and I said to her, I said, look, I'm really sorry about this, but I've sprung for dinner and I have no money. Would you mind paying for the petrol? She said, no problem. And as she walked into the petrol station to pay, I sparked that sucker up and I drove out of there. Frightening rate of knots. Didn't even look in the rear vision mirror.
See ya, sucker! Is that true, Mickey?
I'm afraid there is an element of truth to that.
All right, that's what we want. Oh, well, we asked for it, I suppose.
You wheeled out the confessional booth.
That's what it's for. You can't do bogus confessions in the Martin
Malloy. You can't pass that on, by the way. I don't want anyone else knowing about that.
It's between you, me and Gracie and Emma. No one need know about it. Now, do we have a prize? I think we do. Yes, indeed. A couple of comedy videos. The new Blackadder Christmas Carol and The Wrong Trousers. I know I've been raving about it, but check it out. The chase at the end of The Wrong Trousers is up there with the end of Mad Max 2, in my opinion.
Okay.
All right, you'll also go into the draw for a trip for you and three friends to visit Club Med Noumea. It's the Galliano Sambuca Singles Party.
Mm.
And we're going to be drawing that, or at least Pete Smith will be drawing that at the conclusion of today's Radio Gladiators. So call us up now and fess up to something real.
Yeah.
It's got to be real. 1-800-657-657.
Martin Malloy. I'd phone up and complain on the new SAFM.
Martin Malloy, it's Radio Gladiators. Today we're stepping into the confession booth, as our assistant treasurer has done, and we're asking our listeners to fess up. Who have we got first, Mickey?
We've got Leonie on the line. Hello, Leonie.
Hi.
How are you?
Open the slidey door.
You're in the booth.
Oh, dear.
What do you got to confess?
My mother and I went along to the studio audience of Simply Irresistible, that dating game that was on for a while.
But that's not it.
It gets worse. We got thrown out of the audience.
What for?
Well, my auntie was on the actual show, and we were signalling to her, who was a cute guy, and we got thrown out for giving signals.
Oh, I see. So you were virtually thrown out for heckling, in a way.
Yeah.
It's Simply Irresistible. And who ejected you exactly?
The Yasha guy, whatever his name. I don't know who he is.
Boris.
Wow. Okay. That's how the game shows work. Yeah.
It's the ugly side of television game shows.
And you were given your marching orders from the Simply Irresistible.
All right. Well, can we go better than that?
I think we've got to try.
Let's open the next slidey door and meet Jenny. Jenny, what are you confessing to?
Well,
Yesterday, I went out to the Hume wall, the one that's moved like 5 millimetres.
Oh, the dam that's moved 5 millimetres.
Yeah, because I live out in Wodonga. And there's a, you know, actually not meant to walk along the road.
No.
And being me, I jumped the fence and ran along the wall, and I actually looked over and I dropped my paddle pop stick into the water. And...
oh, for God's sake!
I think we're finally getting to the bottom of all this.
That's probably what's made it move.
Yeah.
Paddle pop stick, that'd do it, 5 millimetres?
5 millimetres in a day. You got a paddle pop stick. Oh, I'm putting it all together. Hey, Jenny, just quickly, where's the dam now?
Oh.
You got a current sighting? Because it's out in the move.
Yeah, actually it is. It's right down the end of the road.
Yeah, so yes. Probably cracked a stitch getting there. If 5 millimetres in one day. Whoa, what about to have a bit of a lie down at the end of that?
Call us now if you've seen the Hume Dam. It's on the move.
I saw it running a red light just out of Albury.
That's the Hume for you. Let's meet Karen. Karen, what are you confessing to?
Well, I went to an all-girls Catholic school, not telling you where,
no.
We had nuns teaching.
Yes.
Now, one dim dark day, we put super glue on one of the nuns' seats, our teacher, and then she sat down with her habit.
Yes.
We set off a fire alarm, and the poor old soul had to take her habit off and run out in all her, well, not all her glory,
yes.
She had some undergarments.
So it was a near Frankie J moment.
Oh, it wasn't very nice, was it?
What happened?
They
super glued the nun to a chair.
Think of it as in sped up motion with the Benny Hill music. Nicky, you've got a super glued a nun to a chair.
Right.
That would be enough, I would have thought.
Right. And then the alarm's gone off.
The nun's run off sans clothes.
Sans clothes. I get it now.
Now you're enjoying
it. That's a beauty.
Okay. That's quite a confession. And unfortunately, the Martin Molloy confession booth isn't recognised by the Catholic Church, I'm afraid, Karen. So we'll have to move on to window number 4. Ben, are you there?
Yeah, mate.
Ben, what have you got to confess to?
Well, just on Sunday, we've in Bathurst here, because I live in Bathurst, obviously, we've had the Bathurst 1000.
Yes, yes.
And it's the whole week in Bathurst, the whole place just turns into a cesspool of vomit.
Does it really?
There are drunks everywhere.
Oh, I saw that on the ads.
Cesspool of vomit.
Right?
There are drunks everywhere. And anyway, the race was it was wet and dry, so it was, you know.
Yep.
And anyway, towards right at the end where they give out the prizes or the trophy for the racers who have come first, second, and third.
Yes.
We're in the haggle down below, and Gary Wilkinson comes out in all his, you know, stiff Channel 7 glory.
Yeah.
And over the years, me and my friends have formed a secret little fraternity where we throw something at the Channel 7 commentator. And luckily this year, my half can of VB was shown on TV.
Oh, you didn't attempt to brain Wilco with half a can of BB.
And the amazing thing about it is he didn't flinch.
did you nut him?
Well, I didn't nut him, but he didn't flinch. Craig Downs looked down and laughed.
Craig Downs looked down and had a cack. That wasn't you driving the pace car, was it?
I would have loved to have done it, though.
You could have.
Okay, no, I think Sam Newman had that job. Have we got Veronica on board? Are you there, Veronica, in the next booth?
Hello.
What have you got to confess to?
I locked my older brother in the sauna one time at Churchill, and the lady that works there came and saw him and made him pay to use the sauna. And when he got out, he bashed up my little brother instead of me, and I never told him about it.
Oh, dear, oh dear.
Where do you start?
It's getting pretty ugly, this segment, but there's no turning back, Mickey.
You must have organised that in advance.
No.
I think that was a spontaneous thing. What did you lock your brother in the sauna for?
No, I just
didn't.
I don't like
it. Because he was there.
Yeah, that'd be right.
You were rebelling.
Okay, well, we'll move on quickly now to Nikki. Nikki, what are you confessing to?
Hi, guys. When I was younger, I used to go to a Catholic primary school as well, and every now and then we had to go to confession with the priest, and I was really, really scared of the priest, and I never knew what to say, so I used to lie.
You used to just make stuff up. Oh, dear.
Lie at confessional.
I was really scared of the priest, and I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to tell him? So I used to say things like, I bashed up my little sister and I don't have a little sister, or we kicked the dog and the dog was already dead, or I swore to my mum and things like that.
I was involved in Iran-Contra case. That was me.
Just making stuff up.
I'm really enjoying my experience with the Catholic Church and that kind of gear.
All right, well, Nikki, that's fine, but frankly, I don't believe a word you say, so we might move
get
on.
Get out of the booth.
Finally, to Steve. Are you there, Steve? What are you confessing to?
Hi, guys. Forgive me, but I went on Pot of Gold and came last.
Oi, oi, oi. I think we have a winner.
You went on Pot... And what was the act that got you last on Pot of Gold, Steve?
I was doing some comedy.
Oh, yes.
I was sort of reading out of a book and ticking it off as I went, and the judges that they have up there, they had Kamal, and they had an old lady from the audience who just didn't get my jokes, and she gave me about 20.
And what did Kamal have to say?
Kamal, oh, he felt sorry for me. He gave me 38.
Oh, gee. Even he wasn't unkind. We've got a little competition in the second hour here, which I reckon could be right up your alley, Steve.
Yes, pot of shite. Well, you're our winner today. You've got those two videos, and we've just attached your name to a bit of paper that's gone in our big barrel. Stepping out of the booth now, please welcome Pete Smith.
Thank you, guys.
Pete. Would have done a bit of judging yourself on Pot of Gold.
I certainly have been around a few barrels of joy in my time, I can tell you that.
Well, reach in there and let's see who's going to win.
Just at random, here it comes.
Look out.
And the winner of Radio Gladiators this week is Peter Thomas of Melbourne.
Yes, his idea for the kiddies to do, you know, free stuff for them to do to amuse themselves.
Oh, of course.
Setting off the flashlight on the camera as people drive past
we
at night.
We like that one.
Make them think it was a speed camera. All right, okay. And what has he won, Pete?
Well, Peter is off with three friends in November to get this Galliano Sambuca singles parties at Club Med Numea.
See you there, Petey boy.
All right, well, congratulations, Peter. Sorry it wasn't you, Steve. And just before we go to the break, Pete, do you have something you'd like to confess to?
You want to end on a downer?
What have you got?
Last week I was in Melbourne. They've got one of those Circle City trams, you know, for tourists.
Yeah.
Well, I jumped off it
while
it was moving. I didn't wait for it to stop.
That's a poor example for the kiddies.
Yeah, I was spotted.
Oh, well, on that...
Tram surfing. Can you believe it?
Yeah. On that tawdry CD note, we'll throw to the ads and tell you in the next hour we'll be joined by Kathy Lee.
This is Martin Malloy.
I object. I object, Your Honor. I object. I've said it 10 times and I say it again.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
And in what remains of this hour of Martin Malloy, behind the scenes at the Nobel Peace Prize. Pot of shite, and next up we're on the blab with Kathy Lett. All thanks to Coca-Cola, it's that ultimate summer refreshment. That's Brian Adams. The only thing that looks good on him is you. It's the second hour of Martin Malloy, in case you haven't guessed. And I'm just turning into Shane Bourne for a moment. Sorry about that. And our guest today, she's the book writing authoress of several bestsellers, including that beloved Australian classic, Puberty Blues. She now lives in London with her husband, that bloke who used to do those hypotheticals on the ABC. But she's popped back here to talk up her latest read. It's called Mad Cows, and she's called Kathy Lett. Kathy, thanks for dropping by.
G'day, you dags.
Have you been dropping your own name just endlessly for the last month or so?
I have. I've taken the megalomania pill. I have elephantiasis of the ego.
I see.
Otherwise known as book tour. So.
Right, now it's Mad Cows. What do people need to know? We freely admit we haven't read it yet because we only just got it yesterday. And
I know you guys. Your only reading material is a menu and a bank balance.
And
yeah.
The careful there, Starker's calendar. We always go through that.
Yeah, I'm onto you guys. Anyway, you wouldn't like it. It's girl talk.
Oh, it's girl talk.
Oh, although maybe you're sensitive guys. I mean, do you do sort of sensitive things with
I can play piece? That. Yeah. I can pretend to be that. Yeah. Would that help?
You know, they've taken the expression new man out of the OED this year. The dictionary people said there is no such thing. It was all a mistake.
It was a hoax. Yeah. We've talked about this on the show last week. We're new men. We sit, and when the tampon ads come on, we pretend we're interested. And the girlfriends go, oh, this is taking an interest in what's going on down there.
I'm writing stuff down. No. The way to go.
Core of sphagnum, you say.
Really? That's no good. I'm going to run my own series of tests. Get the blue liquid now.
Okay, then we're going to bond. I can tell. A lot of close bonding going on now.
From what I can gather with a new book, basically the...
from reading the back of it.
Pretty much. From a speed reading, Kathy. I'm gathering the main sentiment is this motherhood business isn't all
Sucks.
It's cracked up to be.
Yeah, the book's a literary contraceptive, you know.
Is it?
Well, you guys haven't sprogged, have you?
No. Not as yet. Well, not to my knowledge.
Well, all it is, it's about the fact that after you have babies, you end up a few nappies short of the full load. You know, as, you know, I can demonstrate today.
Right.
Right.
I'm at that stage of motherhood where I'm putting the kids under the sink and the lethal household substances within reach. You know, that's
I see.
That's where I am.
Now, a lot of our listeners would either have kids or have some on the boil at the moment. Are you telling people that it's possibly a bad idea?
Yeah. The idea that motherhood is the ultimate fulfillment for a female is the last great sacred cow, you know, and it's time we whacked it on the old Barbie. Mm. And you boys are no good. I mean, have you guys got girlfriends?
Oh, yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, when you sprog, you'll go to the birth classes and, you know, I mean, we want you in the birth classes because, I think if you were there, we want you in the labour ward because if you were there when it went in, you should be there when it comes out, right?
Yes, yes.
But in the birth classes, you've completely taken over. You know, the guru sits at the front of the class and says, and who's having a natural childbirth? And all the men put their hands up. I mean, we know what you're like with pain. You need epidurals to get your goddamn ingrown toenails.
Oh, yeah,
cut,
absolutely.
You know?
Well, I take all my baby-making cues from Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. And they're into natural... Didn't they have the bath set up at home?
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine what her breasts must be like? Now, they probably arrive about 5 minutes before she does.
While she was giving birth, I think he was swinging overhead on a trapeze.
No, there's only a couple things you need to know about the birth. One is don't have the enema because crapping on the obstetrician is the ultimate revenge.
Doesn't that just add a little bit of colour?
Yeah, and a lot of movement. And when the doctor's sewing you up after the episiotomy, you up for this, guys?
Oh,
just
yes.
Tell him to keep on sewing because you don't want anything going in there or coming out of there ever again.
What kind of stitch do they use there?
Herringbone.
Is there a pattern that comes with the woman's weekly?
What do they do? Just wheel out the singer?
Groin embroidery, yes. You could take that at school, couldn't
But, Kathy, surely you're saying this is all coming as a surprise to you. But you had no knowledge of this prior to the event? You thought it was just going to be a doddle?
The reason is there's this conspiracy of silence amongst females not to tell each other how bad it's going to be. There's no word for it. You guys have got macho. We need kind of femcho or something.
It's a kind of, the water's fine. No, it really is.
Yeah.
It's fine. Come on in. Yeah. You'll love it.
And there's pressure to do it naturally. It's sort of a case of stiff upper labia, you know. No, it doesn't hurt. I mean, I think of natural childbirth the way I think of natural appendectomy.
Okay. Right. Now, where are your kids while you're out here?
Ah, well, I've got two sprogs, 5 and 3, and I've left them with their father, so they'll be feral by the time I get home. You know, they won't
Don't leave them with a nanny.
No.
Polyacis is just out here. Do not leave them with a nanny.
Hand the
rocks to
the
you.
Cradle, yeah. So we'll see. We shall see.
And can I ask, Kathy, are your kids obviously growing up in London? Are they growing up English? Have you got English children?
You know what I do? I play them endless Australian play school tapes to try and flatten their vowels. It's the opposite of elocution classes, you know, vowel flattening classes.
Are you getting the wiggles? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, the wiggles are a bit tragic, but I like Philip Quoss Buttocks when he does the wiggly woo on play school. Okay. Oh, fab.
I'm sure we've all got a videotape of that under the bed at home somewhere, Kathy.
This is soft porn for mothers, okay?
Now, Kathy, we want to ask you about living in England a bit more.
Oh, God.
Could you stick around for another break with us?
Yeah, love to.
That'll be next. I'm Martin Malloy. Thank you very much, Eric Clapton, Change the World, here at...
Martin Malloy.
And Kathy Lett is sticking around for another break with us. She's got a new book out. It's called Mad Cows. And did you write it over in England, Kathy?
Oh, Pommyland, yeah. I mean, I grew up on all those Pommy bashing jokes. You know, where does an Englishman hide his money? Under the soap. What do cold beer and cunnilingus have in common? You can't get either of them in London.
I see.
And to be suddenly living in the enemy camp is very, very weird.
We've got a little excerpt of an interview with you, Kathy. It says, your last holiday was spent with the opposition leader, Tony Blair, and his wife, Neil Kinnock, and Jeremy Irons. Is that true? Are those the sort of people you hang about with?
The celebritocracy. Yeah, I've rubbed shoulder pads with the celebritocracy.
And did Jeremy Irons drive, can we ask? You weren't letting him behind the wheel.
It was his sex drive I was interested in.
I see. Yeah. Now, what I mean to lead to with this is, do you live in a neighbourhood full of celebrities? I read somewhere that you faded rock stars live in your street. Is that right? Tell us about your neighbours. Go to town on them, Kathy.
Oh, look. Well, it's Couch Canyon. That's where I live. It's all psychiatrists and failed rock stars. A lot of mistresses. But, I mean, all the English are weird. I mean, these are people who keep their dogs at home and send their kids off these high-class kennels called Eton and Harrow. And they hate us.
Okay.
Have you guys lobbed over to London yet?
No. Come and see me,
you great dads.
We went to Scotland and we go, why is everyone so friendly to Australians? And finally someone goes, well, we're assuming that you hate the English as much as we do.
That's absolutely right.
And what do they think of people like yourself, Australians in the media and Barry Humphries and Clive James? Are they sort of, are you kept around for a novelty factor or have you been accepted?
Yeah, we're supposed to perform at parties like Little Poodles, you know. But they hate Australians, really. They see us as a recessive gene. You know, the kind of Irish of the Pacific. And when I first got to London, Geoffrey, my husband, was going out with this woman called Nigella Lawson, who was is the daughter of Nigel Lawson, the ex-Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Hang on, Nigel Lawson has called his daughter
Can
Nigella.
Can you believe it? Listen.
A lot of thought's gone into that, hasn't it? Bung an A on the end and let's be done with it.
My father's name's Mervyn. I could have been Mervynella. You know, it's just too attractive. But the gossip columns had a field day. You know, that they were all saying, how could good-looking, talented, gorgeous QC dump good-looking, talented, gorgeous daughter of somebody very, very famous for loudmouth colonial nymphomaniac. I'm going, how dare they call me a loudmouth? You know, hey.
And is that what you're putting on your passport under occupation, loudmouth?
Yeah, colonial nymphomaniac.
That's right.
Yeah.
You must be one of the few Australians living overseas who doesn't do a pantomime every year. I mean, surely they'd be happy about that.
I was just going to ask you about, aren't you having a couple of your books made into TV shows in England?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that?
Well, I'm not going to get excited until it's tiara time.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
When I've got the tiara and the tits on, and I'm going to the opening night.
You've heard it before?
Heard it before, boys, yeah.
But will they be British or will they be Australian?
They're casting Australians, yeah. Mm. Why are you looking for a part? Hey, you can come on my casting couch, guys. They're quite spunky, aren't they? Look at them. Yeah.
Oh,
no verandas over the toy shop. Quite nice.
Yet.
Yeah.
We're working on a bit of veranda work. We're getting someone in and there's been some plans drawn up.
Are you still, Australian men still emotional bonsai? Do I still have to put the fertiliser on to get any feelings out of you, or have you improved?
Oh, no.
I don't think there's been much improvement.
Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. That's my philosophy. It's as deep as it gets, I'm afraid.
Kid, team, you're a crazy kid.
Because Sydney men, you know, all those wax heads. Did you guys see pubes?
Yes, indeed.
I mean, those wax heads I grew up with. They disprove the theory of evolution. They're kind of evolving into apes. Awesome. And our boyfriends in Sylvania, in Cronulla, you know, used to get us to cut their names out in paper, sticky tape them onto our stomachs, and then sunbake to get a tan tattoo in the shape of their names. Oh, laugh. You can laugh. But, you know, if I ever get cancer, I'm going to have a melanoma called Bruce.
You'll know who to sue.
At least it'll be a personalised affliction. Think of it that way. That'll make you very fashionable over in Blighty. Mm-hmm. Do you get much feedback from people who that book was based on?
I learned a really good lesson because, you know, a lot of writers say, people who want to write say, I can't write. What if my friends recognise themselves or get upset?
Yeah.
But when Pubes came out, I mean, everybody from that area hated us and said, you betrayed us, and then secretly were bragging about being in it. And I used to swim at Sydney University Pool, and I went there for a swim one day, and there was a guy at the desk, and he said, he knew I was from Cronulla. He didn't know I wrote the book. And he said, you know that book, Puberty Blues? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know that chick what wrote that book with the dark hair? And I said, yeah. And he said, I rooted her. I mean, I looked at him twice. There'd been a lot of nights in back of vans, but I didn't recognise
him. He said, excuse me, is this your name on my stomach? No, it's not.
But he went into all the... I said, well, what was she like, you know? And he said, he went into all these details about me doing it, standing up backwards, covered in custard. And I thought, you know, bugger it. Just who cares? People are going to say they know you and they've done you and whatever else. So just write whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Well, Kathy, I'm afraid our time is up, so you're going to have to scrape the custard off. We'd like to thank you for coming on our program and using the word pubes more than once. And best of luck with Mad Cows.
Thanks, guys. You're gorgeous.
Thanks very much, Gracie. Nicely done. That's Ace of Base here at Martin Malloy and Kathy Lett. I hope we didn't offend any wax heads. I'd like to apologise to any wax heads listening today.
Mm.
They've got feelings too.
No, they do.
I'll tell you what, let's have some showbiz,
shall we?
Right here on the show.
It's time for radio's premier talent quest, Pot of Shite. Could you be the next Frankie J. Holden, the next Debbie Newsom, the next Grant Dodwell, Teen Queens, or Sam C. and the Feelers? Even if you're merely the current Sam C. and the Feelers, give us a call and let us lead you to the Pot of Shite at the end of the rainbow.
What are you doing for us today?
I am actually on Wheel of Fortune as we speak.
Turn up the sound, Emma. What's going on? You're on Wheel of Fortune.
I'm in the blue corner.
Oh, well, the wheel's just stopping.
410. A G, please.
There she is. Oh, looking smashing too, darling.
I'm not 10 years there. Older than what I am.
And when was this recorded? Back in the 70s?
Every winner on Pot of Shite takes home a three-pack of CDs thanks to Warner Music and goes into the draw to win a Ford Festiva Trio valued at more than $17,000. Ford Festiva, the escape hatch. Fun to drive and easy on the wallet. All thanks to the Ford Australian Open. Okay, lads, stir that pot.
Thank you, Pete. And that Ford Australian Open, I think the tickets are on sale now.
Mm.
It's just tennis, tennis, tennis. And when you think it's all over,
More tennis!
That's it. They just keep coming. That's what separates it from the other tawdry competitions calling themselves tennis tourneys.
Them. Doing the rounds at the moment.
Duds and, of course, the Ford Australian Open are getting behind Pot of Shite. Good on them. More power to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll accept anybody phoning us up. You know what? We'll accept Daryl Hannah.
Mm.
Daryl Hannah, living in a teepee. Did you know about this, Mickey?
Oh, hang on a second.
Here's something I should have got to earlier in the program on what's all that about. Daryl Hannah is living in a teepee. The star of Splash and heaps of other films, is reportedly so heartbroken by the marriage of her former boyfriend, John F. Kennedy Jr., she's ensconced herself.
Oh, I hate it when people ensconce themselves.
No. Oh, you don't want to get into ensconcing.
It's a last resort.
Oh, dear. She's ensconced herself in an Indian teepee at a remote retreat in Colorado. Mm. So she's been dropped and gone all dances with wolves. Mick, have you ever driven a former girlfriend into a teepee?
I don't think so.
That's a new unit measurement of heartbreak, isn't it?
How's she taking it, mate? Oh, not well. She's in the teepee.
Completely in the teepee? Most of her, yeah. What about yourself?
Oh, I've been in a wigwam all week.
Anyway, fans of Ms. Hannah can write to her care of Daryl Hannah's teepee in Colorado. See, that's only one up from being found cowering in a wood pile with a couple of teeth missing, having cut your own ear with a rock. That's the first sign of a Hollywood star going around the bend. Mm. Being pulled over in your Porsche, nude, covered in imaginary rats.
Check.
That'd be number two, stage two. Living in a teepee in Colorado. You're beyond help, I reckon. That's my new formula. Wood pile, rats, teepee.
Teepee.
And beyond that, no help. Nothing at all.
It's a teepee situation.
You're going, I'll get that written out properly into some sort of formula.
It'll work.
Okay, we're talking pot of shite. We certainly are, as you can tell. We want you to call us up with, what are we looking for? I know we've had a bit of music, we've had impressions. Is there anything else that we're forgetting here, Mickey?
I don't know, maybe something from the world of the occult.
Maybe some voodoo, that'd be good.
Oh, we got a fair bit of that yesterday.
Did we? Yeah.
The segment was delayed because of voodoo, if I remember. call us up with anything but voodoo. 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Molloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment.
Yes, it's time for Pot of Shite here at Martin Molloy, the home of variety. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll see what happens. It's just, well, it's talent. That's all we're presenting.
There's in nothing... small quantities.
Okay. Introduce the potheads, Mick Molloy.
Well, first up, it's Peter. How are you, Pete?
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Oh, not too bad at all. Now, what are you going to do for us?
I'm going to do a version of Peter Harvey singing Old Man River with a twist.
Have you begun already? No? All right. Well, let's fire it up today on Pot of Shite with Peter.
Old man Cumberall, that old man Cumberall, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along.
There you go. Asking, ye shall receive. That was Peter Harvey.
I think it was very good. I think there could have been more of a gap between old man and Canberra.
Yep.
But certainly points there. And we're going to move on now, Peter, to Sharon, who's going to attempt to top you. What have you got, Sharon?
I've got a chicken doing the Mission Impossible theme.
Oh, well. We promised you talent, and now we're about to deliver. Take it away, Sharon.
Okay.
I asked for voodoo, and we got it.
And if I was Bernard King, Sharon, I'd be saying, how long did you rehearse that?
Sharon, you seem to have amused yourself. That's the main thing here today on Pot of Shite.
You're not driving, are you?
No.
Okay, good to hear. Thanks, Sharon. Now we'll talk to Julie. Julie, you've heard the standard we've set. Can you go one better?
Oh, I don't know. Good try.
I think you can, Julie. What are you going to do?
I'm singing. I'm doing my impression of Marilyn Monroe singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President."
Oh, yes.
This is going to be gorgeous.
We all remember that terrific performance. Let's hear it. Let's bring it to life.
Mm-hmm.
For people who weren't there, let's bring it to life. Julie, take it away.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Happy birthday.
There she goes.
To you.
All right, there we go. That was very steamy, very raunchy. Julie.
And Julie, is this a performance you turn on from time to time?
No, I just sang it the other night with my husband and nearly pissed himself laughing.
And is your husband the president of anything?
No.
That'd be good.
And what were the circumstances? Was it late?
It was very late, yeah.
And he was trying to sleep.
No, we were listening to your show, actually.
Oh, I see. Wow. It brings out the amorous side in you, obviously.
Yeah, wait till he becomes president of something like Rotary or something. Then do a repeat performance. I don't know where to point the finger, Mickey.
Oh, it's, look, I want to give him all a prize.
Oh, it's pretty hard to split them. Old Man River, Mission Impossible, and I don't know, maybe we should go with Julie.
All
just
right.
For sheer radio eroticism. Sorry about that, Peter and Sharon. Julie has got the 3-pack of CDs, and you couldn't be happier, could you, Jules?
Oh, I can't believe it.
What will your husband say about this?
He won't believe it either. I'm actually sitting in traffic.
Okay. And what a fella. Has anyone spotted you?
I don't think so.
All right.
You
keep the,
hide.
Keep the shades
Hang
on.
Hang around, Julie, because we'll get you to take us out at the end with another verse.
Indeed. And it's all thanks to our friends at the Ford Australian Open, by the way. They've put you in the drawer for that, well, it's a $17,000 vehicle.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's going off, I think, 5 weeks from today.
Oh, wonderful.
And just take us out with another chorus. Why not, Julie?
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, there you go.
She's in traffic, people. Give her a honk. Pull over.
Closer to free. That's the Bodines here at Martin Molloy.
Live from the Sydney Entertainment Centre, Coca-Cola and some pay TV show that'll probably be axed in a couple of weeks present the 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes with the Dalai Lama, Boutros Ghali, Bishop Desmond Tutu, Richard Wilkins, Benazir Bhutto, Malcolm Fraser, Cecil, Pope John Paul II, Nelson Mandela, Swoove, Benjamin Netanyahu, Wendy Matthews, Yasser Arafat, Old Sky Daddies, Mother Teresa, and radio personalities you've never heard of.
Hi, I'm Tony Martin. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Woo! Love you people.
Yeah, yeah. Nobel Prize winners.
Okay, the Nobel Prize is a very important part of the... Well, I can't read that. Yeah, let's just say what we think.
Okay.
We don't need, yeah. Could you make the words a bit bigger, maybe?
Woo! The 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes with awards for most peaceful struggle for an independent homeland, best plea for calm and understanding, best video of historic peace settlement being signed, best debut hunger strike, best female negotiator, most popular pilgrimage, and sarong of the year. It's... the Dalai Lama again! With a surprise appearance by Alexander Downer.
Ow!
Oh,
bit of a buckle there. Ow! Ow! Starting to spark now.
This truly is the peace industry's night of nights.
Okay, we're here again to present the award for Best Hostage Release of 1996.
Yeah, the big one!
Yeah, and unfortunately the Tamil Tigers can't be here to accept it in person, but they've asked us to attach the award to a car and drive it through the front windows of the embassy.
All right!
The 1996 Nobel Peace Prizes, coming soon to Channel 10. Come on, let's make some peace.
I'll be sweet.
Winding up another week of Martin Molloy. Mm. Almost time for us to go. A bit of business to take care of. Just inviting you once again, if you haven't done so already, pay a visit to Martin Molloy Land.
on the big international internet. If you've got access to the equipment, the address is, well, it's kind of, you know, all that bizzo up the front, the HTTP bizzo. Mm-hmm. Don't include the www. Mm-hmm. And then you just throw in martinmalloy.village.com.au. And if you don't have access to the internet, you're missing nothing. Mm. It's a dud. It's overrated. Also, we've had a few calls about our new album. There is going to be a new Martin Malloy album in the shops for Christmas. At this stage, it's even longer than the Brown album. We're breaking our own world record. I say at this stage because it's in that, well, tricky period where the lawyers are having a listen. And once they've finished, we may be unable to break the record. So yeah, we'll see what they say. That'll be out soon. We'll have details of that. And just reminding you, if you're not watching Dancing in the Street on the ABC Friday nights,
you're a clown.
You're being a fool to yourself and a burden to others. And it doesn't matter if you haven't been watching it. It's pretty easy to pick up. It's a kind of history of rock and roll, and it's tops. It's a top view. What's it on tonight? I think they're in the middle of the 70s now.
Oh, okay.
So who knows what we're going to see this evening.
Bit of punk action.
And just before we go, as always, we conclude proceedings here at Martin Malloy by packing full the comedy incinerator, where we take all the really feeble jokes we rejected earlier, but somehow we're going to get them in. Get them out of our system before we sign off and start the clock. Gracie, I'll kick things off with, well, news that the self-styled Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley, this week declared Celtic dance to be the ultimate aphrodisiac, saying he always has sex within 1 hour of coming off stage. And don't forget, Flatley has just added 22 extra dates to his upcoming tour, after which he'll be taking a much-deserved rest.
A furious John Howard has launched a broadside at Christopher Skase and says the decision to end Commonwealth funding for his return may be overturned. Howard says Skase is nothing more than an Australian abroad doing his best to bring shame and international embarrassment to our country, a job the Prime Minister believes should be left to members of his own cabinet.
Pauline Hanson's controversial maiden speech to Parliament was again in the news today with claims she didn't even write it herself. And in fact, it was the work of John Pascarelli, an associate of Kalgoorlie MP Graham Campbell. Miss Hanson today denied the claim, saying she wrote the speech herself. Pascarelli only supplied the crayons.
A new book about the life of Colonel Sanders claims the Chicken King had an insatiable appetite for sex. The claim was supported by one of the Colonel's old drinking buddies, who said whenever they got together, it wouldn't be long before the Colonel started flapping the arms, knocking the knees, and began repeating the phrase, "I feel like chicks tonight, like chicks tonight."
It's the incinerator.
It's the incinerator, and I've taken that license to the hilt.
Good on you, the mystery.
I feel like chicks tonight, like chicks tonight.
Just throw in a wogga wogga.
Wogga wogga.
It's the town that sounds funny. Apparently, according to Americans. The mystery of who's been buying up massive quantities of chocolate body paint this week, it's been moving off the shelf at an alarming rate apparently, was solved when Senator Mel Colston's wife returned home to find her husband in the bedroom ready for action and dressed as the world's largest Streets chocolate pudding.
And you suggested I'd broken the incinerator. Well, I didn't know what you were sitting on, buddy.
I'm closing the Spirax. My work here is done. Let's thank our guests, shall we? Kathy Lett, the man in the glass booth, Pete Smith, and all our gladiators and shitesters. As always, a big end-of-week salute to our producer, Gracie.
Hey, Gracie!
Our assistant, Emma, making those sketches. She's outdone herself this week. It's Vicky. And, of course, all the network button pushers right around the grid.
Hello on you, fellas.
And a special hello to all our listeners in Wagga Wagga. Yes, indeed. They just can't stop laughing at their own name. We'll be back Monday with Peter Brock. And until then, if you can't say something intelligent, well, I feel like chicks tonight. Like chicks tonight.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola, the ultimate summer refreshment. Pete Smith speaking.